We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. Hey, I'm excited because we are finally finishing our First Things First series. We started a series at the beginning of the year talking about all of the first things, the principles of first thing. And you know, if you are just joining us, the first week we talked about dreams and what it takes to build the atmosphere to sustain our dream. And last week or the week before the snow, we talked about value and how we can't allow ourselves to allow other people or the world to reappraise our value. We actually have to go back to the first things God said about our value, because the Creator sets the value. Hello? Your Creator decided how much you were worth. He decided what it would cost for your salvation. And then how many know you are worth what someone's willing to pay? And Jesus was willing to pay everything for your soul. And so it confirmed the value that the Creator set on your life. Hello? And so we go back to the first things and the principles they teach. And today I want to shift. And as we close this series, I want to talk about future. I want to talk about claiming your future. Future is a word that holds many feelings. It's a word that brings all the feels, as they say these days. Excitement and hope and uncertainty and for some even anxiety. But the idea of future is more tomorrows to make a change or magnify your current decisions. Tomorrow gives me the chance to change what's not working or continue to magnify what is working. Right? And so I love future because I love change. I love the ability to change. I love, as a kid, I love Play-Doh because I can make it whatever I want and then squash it again and make it again to something new. You know, I love the ability to continue to mold. I like the ability to change. And some people don't have that. I think it's a gift to love change because some people don't love change. But what I can say is that our future gives us the ability for change. Yeah. And our tomorrows, they offer, you know, for all the golfers in the house, tomorrows offer mulligans for our todays that didn't go as well as we'd hope, or more time to keep building off of the great yesterday we had. Did you know that God created you for your future? Like, when he created you, he already had a future in mind. In fact, creating you, he was creating you for a future he paired you with. Oh, I like the way that pairs with dessert. I like the way that pairs with dinner. God paired you for your future. But we act like, well, I wonder what the future holds. Yeah, well, we don't know what the future holds, but God knows what it could be. God knows what he intended for our life. And so even though future is this big thought and idea, I'm a futurist, even though it's all these weird big things, actually, there's substance to a good future. It's there for us. And what I want to focus on today is what did God say about my future? What did God say about my future? This is number one. What I'll tell you is he has a good plan in mind. How many are thankful that God has a good plan in mind when he thinks of you? God could think a lot of things towards us. I know that God, through history, has thought many things towards, different people groups. And he's thought many things towards the Sodoms and the Gomorrahs. And he's thought many things towards the life before when Noah's Ark came. And I'm thankful we live in a new covenant and that we live where Jesus can cover us and he can think differently about us. I'm glad that I'm not identified by my sin any longer. Because when we look in the Old Testament, people were identified by whether they were sinful or whether they were not. Hey, has your sins been covered by the local altar? Have you been doing? But now it's about, am I identified with Jesus who covered all my sins? Okay. God, when he thinks about us, he has a good plan in mind. It says Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What I love about this is he was talking in context to people who had really been struggling, who had not got it right, who had been, you know, for all means and purposes, should have been completely cut off for everything God had for them. But he goes, no, we're going to change this up. I have good plans for you. I have good things for you. And in this moment, it's important for you to know, no matter what has gone on in your life up to this point, God has a better tomorrow for you. Tomorrow can be better, but we've got to believe it and we've got to claim that thing. I got to claim the future God has for me. Have you ever won a little raffle ticket or something and like, you're like, hey, that's mine. And they're like, prove it. And you're like, I got this. And you have to have the ticket to claim it. Well, God's given us his word and we can claim the future he has for us. But if you don't claim it, it's not going to be yours. So God has a plan, and it's a good plan in mind for us. He wants our future to be full of favor and increase. Favor and increase. And you go, oh, here we go, a church about prosperity. No, I'm just going to look in God's word, and I'm going to talk about what he said. Okay? And let's look at what God said from the very beginning. Because remember, first things first, let's go all the way back to Adam and Eve. What did God say about them? It says in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, favor, hello, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. He gave his favor and then expected fruit. He gave his favor and said, now increase. See, people want a blessed life, but God goes, I've already given my favor. Where his favor rests, things change. Where his favor is, it just ain't fair. You know, I watched somebody's story as of late on social media, and they were talking about how God's favor went with them, and they just went to Gillette Stadium and happened to also receive some free thing. And if you laugh, because if you know this person, everything tends to work out for them, and you don't understand why. Oh, but I do, because they put God first in everything they do. And so favor consistently follows. And now my wife and I, we just laugh, and we go, yep, you know. Have you ever heard, there's that situation in bad things. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, like, man, every relationship I have never works. And then the idea is like, well, you're the only common denominator in every relationship you have. So we should consider that. But in the good things where the same people keep turning up to the blessing pot, the common denominator is them all the time. And that's favor. Okay. I want more favor on my life. Well, what does that mean? It means I've got to take a step closer to God because he is the one who blesses. It's not like, hey, God, I'm way over here. Figure out how to get to me. God goes, no, those that come close to me, I'll draw near to them. Those who seek my face. Come on. And so, but he said, God blessed them, God said. Yeah, that's what he said in verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase. God blesses us with his favor, and he expects fruit and increase. And you go, oh, yeah, but that was like from the beginning. That was before sin. Well, let's talk about after sin. Let's talk. You remember when God pressed reset on everything? Noah's Ark? He's like, that didn't work. Noah, you're the best of the worst, buddy. And so... we're going to press reset. We're going to start all over. But what happens when he comes off the boat with Noah and Noah's sons and all of the wives of the sons? And what does he say there in Genesis 9:1? It says this, then God blessed Noah, favor, on him and his sons, and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. So from the beginning to the reset and the beginning again, there was favor and expectation for increase. So when I go back to the first things first, God, he blessed us and he expects fruitfulness. He expects increase. And someone goes, well, Chad, the Bible talks about how the poor will inherit. Look, poor in spirit is different than poor in poverty. God is with us all if we seek his face. But what I know is that I'm not looking to be blessed just to be able to live in a mansion on a hill. I'm looking to be blessed to be a blessing. And as long as I don't clog that pipe by being all about me, as long as I continue to bless with what I have, God will bring more so that I can continue to bless with more. And if someone goes, well, I just don't like that teaching, well, then be in poverty. Because if you don't choose to be a blessing with what you have, God's not going to bring you any more. And if you're a self-made person who's just going to continue to just eat your seed rather than sow your seed, you'll eventually run out. I truly believe that God intended us to reach the next generation by actually sowing seed this generation. He wants us to be thoughtful in the way we do things, and he expects with his favor there'll come increase. Hello? Okay, so regardless of what I feel about my current situation, I have to be reminded that the future I am currently living in, years from my past, hello, God intended today to be full of favor and fruits. You're like, wait, what did he just say? Today was the future of 10 years ago. Today, God wanted favor and increase from 10 years ago. God wants your better. He wants your next day, your tomorrow, your future to be better. And it doesn't mean it's going to be better in every situation. But man, I can live with joy that can carry me through all sorts of problems and all sorts of storms. Are you still with me, church? So God, he had a good plan for us. He has good thoughts towards us, and he wants his favor to bring increase in our life. What's the second thing? What did God give me to build my future? A choice. The same choice that Lucifer chose to be cast out of heaven, the same choice you have to decide whether you're going to worship yourself and serve yourself today, or whether you're going to worship God and serve him today. See, free will is a beautiful gift if used in the right way. But it'll be a beautiful disaster. Beautiful on this side of heaven, disaster on the other side if you get it wrong. The Bible says sin is fun. It says we know why people sin. The only problem is it's a momentary pleasure. They prefer, rather than delaying gratification, to go ahead and enjoy gratification for what's going to be unpleasant later. So what did God give me to build my future? A choice. And although you could not choose your family, where you'd be born, what gifting you'd have, what upbringing would be yours, I love that God's word tells us, although you couldn't choose or change those things, I do give you the ability to change your future. Some people, they're so focused on the hand they were dealt, and they have allowed themselves to live in this victim mentality. Listen, yes, there are people that have had a better opportunity to start with. But what I love is that God, he has the ability to fast track us. He has the ability to go, you know what? You're right. You didn't have two parents. You know what? You're right. You didn't have that college education. You know what? You're right. You didn't have this. But guess what? I made you for this. So watch how I will take my favor and move you to where I want you to be. If you will just have the right heart, if you will just have the right work ethic, if you will just have the right mindset, I will bring you to the places. I will put you before kings. I will elevate you before people. I will place you exactly where I intended you to be. Don't be focused on where you came from. Be focused on where you're going. We have the ability to change our future. God gives us the ability to change our future by making daily choices. Daily choices. If you're taking notes, this is a point. It's a daily choice. You have to have a habitual thought towards the right things. We are people of habit. Do you notice that? You sleep in a position that was a habit-forming position. You have a habit in the way in which you take your shower. You have a habit in how you eat your breakfast and what you want on the plate, or whether you have breakfast at all. You have habits all around, and the habits you choose, they form the present, and the present is seeding for the future. And so there are people, if you look at just habits in general, when we try to get over a bad habit or break a bad habit, we tend to try and start a good habit. Okay, New Year's comes around. I'm going to break the bad habit of eating bad. So what? We're all going to go to the gym so our bodies hurt, so we don't want to eat the bad stuff we're trying to work off. It's a trial by fire. Okay, and what else? You see somebody that's trying to kick the habit of smoking. What do? They try and change the habit with what? Chewing gum or something. They're trying to replace a bad habit for a good habit. And what I know is that our choices give us the ability to make the right habits in our life. But it's got to be a habitual thing. It's, look, hopefully, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today, but hopefully you're making a habit of being in God's house when his doors are open. You may not remember everything that was said, but I'm believing spiritually. I'm SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm just absorbing everything that is happening right now in my midst. God, I don't know if I'll remember it, but I know my spirit will bring it to remembrance. Okay. God gives us the ability to change our future by making daily choices. Deuteronomy 30 says this, starting in verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. God gives us the choice to make our future, but he expects us to choose, and we will be accountable for our choice. People go, well, grace just covers it all. It's like a spiritual flag person. look, grace does cover it all, but we will inevitably be held accountable for the choices we do and do not make. You're responsible for your choice. And look, I also believe when we get to heaven, when we're at the bema seat, when we're at the throne and we're going through judgment, the Bible says that when we're in heaven, there'll be no sadness. It didn't say there wouldn't be sadness at the judgment seat, right? So I think there'll be moments where I realize when I get to heaven and I stand before God, I'm going to realize things that could have been if I'd made better choices. And there's going to be a moment of, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that didn't work or that I missed that. I believe there's going to be some weight to that. And I'm thankful that I'm still believing God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And then the sadness will be over and I'll never have to think about it again. But there's going to be a moment where I'm going to be held accountable and responsible for my choices. Okay, we will move on. So number three, which choices matter to my future? Someone would say, every choice matters. Well, actually, if I wore a blue blazer, I don't think it matters to my future. People like to spiritualize and overthink everything. Everything matters. Double mint or Trident. Oh, but there are choices that do matter. I'm bringing out letters again. A, my words. My words. What am I saying about my future? What am I saying about my today that will affect my tomorrow? It's an echo. And for illustration, I'm going to switch it into using all sorts of analogies for glass. Our words, they're like a mirror. It's going to come right back to us. When we speak, we're speaking the future into existence. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I love how the New Living Translation puts it. It says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Consequences can be good if you reap if you're sowing the right things. There can be a good effect, but you choose what you sow. But when I think about our words, we're speaking into existence future. When I think about God and I look at God and I look at his words and the way that he spoke the world into existence, and then he created us to be like him, not just in image, but also how to rule and to have dominion, the Bible says. And when I think about all the ways God created us in his likeness, it makes me go, wow, he allows us to speak into existence a future as well. Just like him, how there was nothing and then he said it and then it was there. In the same way, we don't have the future already mapped out with our words until we say it. God has a plan in mind, but it's in mind. We get to choose. But what we say ends up coming right back at us. Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? What you say comes right back at you, and it's this echo, it's this reverb. It's like a mirror. What you choose to speak is what you're going to get. I hate my hair. I'm never going to find a husband. That's for a woman. Anyone want to look in there? What you choose to say is probably going to stick. Why don't you just be like, mm-hmm. You can make someone really happy these days. But it's only going to be one someone because I'm that good. Listen. You speak the words into your existence. Your future is going to come back at you. We've got to be careful what you say because it will come back at you. What are you choosing to say that or to see that creates what you say? What are you choosing to see that creates what you say? Because the big part of this series is also reminding ourselves what God said first so that we can say the right thing. Okay? How do you see your future? This leads me into B. My perspective. Are you a glass half full or half empty kind of person? Because your perspective's a big deal. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We need to have a positive outlook as God does towards our future. I'm so thankful God doesn't think about our future like some of us do. Yeah, like anything good's gonna come out of that person. Oh my goodness, you see that? Can't even get out of bed until what time? Oh, man. This person is just hopeless. Oh, man. Well, the things we think about our future sometimes, the things we think about our todays, who we are, we've got to be careful. We should actually be thinking positive because there's a lot of negative. And it's already, you're not as good as you think you are, but you're better than you think. You go, that doesn't make any sense. It does, depending on which side you're at. But either way, we've got to have a positive outlook on who we are. If you're over positive and you're like, is that even possible? Well, pride comes before a fall, and you've got to make sure your positivity isn't pride. But on the other side of things, most of the time, people don't have that much self-esteem, and they do think below God's value of them, and they don't have the right process that they think. Their perspective is always half empty, not half full. And so how do my thoughts change my direction or projection into my future? Do I think positively towards it? How do I choose to think? Look what it says in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So how should I think? Think like this. Think good thoughts. Well, gosh darn it, people like me. You know, like, think good thoughts. Why? Because have you ever had that computer thing where you're trying to do something, or like your iPhone, you're trying to take a picture and it's like, no more memory. And you're like, well, God tells us how we should think, but you only have enough brain capacity to do so many things. So if you're going to think a certain way, you're going to have to stop thinking another way. You don't have the ability to do both. And so if he's saying for me to think higher thoughts, to think pure thoughts, that means impure thoughts have to leave. I can't do them both if I'm going to think like he said. And if I'm going to have a positive outlook, that means I've got to, even if I say, well, it's not my fault I'm a negative person. Actually, it is your fault that you're a negative person. Ha! And that's what we're talking about here. You can be a realist without having to always go negative. Look, I really know this could go bad, but I'm choosing to believe it's not. You can do that. Let's continue to have the right thought process, the right perspective for our lives. Look what it says in Psalms 19:14. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. That means I've got to make a decision to think things that aren't displeasing to his sight. My perspective can be displeasing to God's sight. The way I think about my future can be displeasing to his sight. The way I think about my own worth can be displeasing to his sight. I've got to choose my perspective to be a positive outlook on things that God says are good. He said that we were created good. He said, oh, they're done. They're good. Okay? What Jesus did so that we could be righteous allows us to actually take hold of something we totally don't deserve. But our perspective changes everything. Are you with me? Letter C. I'm going to take a sip of this. And it's going to be less than half full, but I'm going to still see it as half full. Our perspective was B, and C is my focus. Not just what I choose to look at, but how I magnify what I choose to focus on. Do you realize you've got a wide field of vision? See, I can look right here, but also see what's going on right here. I have the ability to see many things, but there's definitely a power that comes to focus. I remember when I was playing paintball with my friends, they had all these different masks you could buy, and some masks were a little bit more expensive because it allowed you to have more peripheral view, which you didn't get shot in that side of your face because you could see people shooting at you, right? But there's this focus of like, okay, it's great to see everything, but there's a real power that came to my magnification on my scope and what I was trying to do, okay? When you play paintball, you'd rather get paint on other people, not on yourself. So I could choose to just do this, or I could choose to also do this and become magnified on the very thing I was trying to do. Someone goes, that's a dangerous analogy. It's paintball! So let me bring it back into other world focus. The fact is, in your everyday life, you see everything. And there's a lot of good, and there's a lot of bad, but it comes down to you on what you choose to magnify. I'm not saying that this over here doesn't exist. Guess what? That needs to be fixed. That thing is a problem and I can see it, but I'm choosing to focus on this because I'm choosing to control my emotions. I'm choosing to decide the very thing that's going to have all of my attention because I'm believing, I'm not going to act like it doesn't exist, but I'm going to choose to focus on the answer, not the problem. Where are you focusing? Because see, for some people, if things are really bad, they find it really hard to muster up any hope when they only focus on the problem. This is the reason so many people choose to take their own lives and choose to do things just sporadic. Can I tell you, don't make a permanent decision in a temporary place. We need to make sure that we don't make decisions in the valleys. Make decisions on the mountaintops where you have better sight lines. Choose to make decisions for your family, not in the middle of a fight. Choose to make decisions for your relationship, not in the heat of the moment. Choose to make decisions in a better place. I'm going to choose to focus on what is right. You know what? You go, this has been a horrible day for me and my spouse. Okay, well, guess what? At least you have a spouse. I don't think we'll ever get it together. Well, guess what? You figured out how to get it together. You guys are together, so work on it. What are you going to focus on? What are you magnifying? Moses sent out scouts to look at the promised land. The land that God promised. First things first, God promises things. But what do we choose to remember when we come across everything else? What do we choose to magnify? What do we choose to focus on? Look what it says in Numbers 13. So the scouts have come back in, and some of the scouts have immediately started talking extremely negative about what's going on in the promised land. And so Caleb, he tries to take it back over and magnify and focus on the good things. It says this, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. What was he magnifying? He was focusing on God's previous promise about the promised land being theirs. He didn't say that, no, it's true, there aren't any people out there that are scary. He just said, we can conquer it. But look at it, it says, the others, they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. What were they magnifying? Their inability. They were magnifying all of their insecurities. They were magnifying what could be instead of what was said. And that's what they thought too. The people passed around the negative report, and although Caleb was trying to pull everyone back together and focus on God's promise, the first things first moment of God promised this to us, and he never said that it wasn't going to be hard. He never said we weren't going to have to fight for it. He just said he promised it to us. So what are you focusing on in your life where you need to realize, wait a minute, God promised me a good future, and I'm going to have to fight for the good future, but I'm going to choose to focus on the right things. Are you with me, church? Romans 12:2, do not conform to this pattern, the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? What you choose to magnify. I'm not saying there aren't bad thoughts in my mind. I've got to find them, take them captive, and not allow them to, become this room in my head where it's a private room where all of my negatives, it's a dark room. It's the negative room. And all these things are, I've got to decide I'm going to focus on the right things in my mind. I've got to decide that, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. You choose what you magnify. Okay, I got to keep moving. Our focus is another tool. Yeah, I got to keep moving. Letter D. What else? My faith. See, faith is the thing that fuels God. It's what moves God. You read throughout all of the Bible and Jesus says, because of faith, or wow, I haven't seen such faith. Faith is the thing that moves God. And so when it comes to my future, I've got to have faith for my future if God is going to move on my behalf. What I choose to believe regardless of what I see. It's kind of like shaded sunglasses. Because you know what? I'm not saying that what's happening isn't existing. I'm not saying that it couldn't be bad. I'm just choosing to believe it's going to be good. I'm just choosing to believe that when I add faith to something, God's going to move on my behalf. God, guess what? I've worked really, really hard for this raise. I've worked really, really hard for this position. And although it looks like I'm probably not going to get this, I'm going to choose to believe that you've got a future for me. I'm going to believe that this is mine. And if it's not mine, then you've got something better for me. I'm going to keep my mind focused. I'm going to keep my perspective right. I'm going to keep my focus on you. And I'm not going to lose faith by what I see. Because faith It's the hope for the substance of things unseen. It's hard to have faith with what I see. Then that's not faith. Because seeing is not believing. And you go, wait, Chad, isn't seeing believing? The spiritual world, things are different. See, you may not see something, but God sees it. And I go, God, it's hard for me to believe something I can't see. And he goes, oh, wait, put these on. Oh, I can see now. Not because I have a picture perfect idea of what it is, but I can see the way you see me so I can believe for what I don't think I'm worth. Come on, our faith becomes a tool for our future. Choose to see things through the eyes of faith. Adding God's goodness to every situation. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Because I know God is at the right hand, and because I know I am part of his family, I know that I can actually believe for God to move on my behalf. I can put on the eyes of faith and believe for the thing I'm asking for. Because I'm part of his family. I'm a co-heir with Christ. I don't deserve it, but I'll accept it. When I choose to see through eyes of faith, I choose to believe beyond what I can see in the natural. I said it Wednesday night, it's not blind faith, it's a bold trust. Because I know how good God is, and I know that God is for me, and I know that God has a plan for my life, because I know his promises are yes and amen over my life, I'm going to choose to have a bold trust in him, even though I can't see. I'm part of his family. Romans 8, 17 through 19. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory, guess what? It can be suffering living on this earth. I think of all the things that shouldn't have happened, but because of the fall of man, they happened. I cannot believe the things that were just passed recently in New York City. I cannot believe that life is so easily. My daughter, Mackenzie, was born 3 weeks early. And based on this new law, she could have been aborted the same week I was holding her. People go, but it's about a choice. No, it's about life. Oh, I don't like where this pastor's going politically. I'm not political. The Bible says that he knit us together in our mother's womb. We've got to understand this isn't about, if people want to claim this is a woman's right, what about the woman in the womb? Do you realize three quarters, it's going to hurt the mother who aborted. And it's going to, and half the time it's going to hurt the girl that's in the womb. We've got to understand, regardless of what the world says, regardless of how hard life is, regardless of the things that are happening in the world, I've got to choose. God, I'm going to choose to see the world through your eyes. I'm going to stand up when you tell me to stand up. I'm going to speak up when you tell me to speak up. But what I am going to do is I'm going to have a faith in the things that I see. Because you know what? What breaks God's heart should break our hearts. I'm going to have a faith to believe that this isn't the end. I'm going to have a faith to believe for not just my future, but for your future. We've got to be people that will see through the eyes of faith and look beyond social trends and look beyond what people are saying, the majority is. What does God's word say? God, give me your eyes again. Let me feel your heartbeat again. Let me understand the thing you think again. God, I want your heart. We've got to have eyes that see. We've got to have faith to fill the void, because if we just look at the world for what it is, we can be disheartened. We can say, how do I even begin to pray for everything that's happened? You put on the eyes of faith saying, God, you'll move mountains. I don't understand how everything's going to work out, but I know you'll move. And so I'm going to see through eyes of faith. Lastly, letter E, my vision. I was going to have a huge telescope in here and then realized I could just have binoculars. You got a lot of props. You got to be considering the per square inch in your trunk, okay? I will choose to have vision for my life. Look, the path I set looking towards my future is the vision I'm talking about, because there's a magnifying view, there's a focus view, and then there's a vision view. There's the ability to magnify things. There's the ability to see everything on the footpath. And then there's the ability to see over the rolling hills where I'm going. I got to have vision for my life. And God allows my vision to actually build my future. Vision is long-term. It looks over the rolling hills, out past my current situations. Have vision for your life. Think past lunch. It makes me think of Adam and Eve in the garden. And Eve was so fixated on the fruit that the serpent said, no, it's good. And she looked at it and it says that it was good to her eye. What are you magnifying? What is your vision? Because if she was focused on vision for their life, it would be focused on obedience to their God. If I have vision for my life, I'm going to look beyond the thing that is right in front of me. I'm going to choose not to magnify that thing. And I look at it and I go, oh man, that looks good. But if I would just lift my eyes up and have vision for my life, I'll get beyond that thing. That momentary pleasure makes me think of King David when he should have been on the battlefield. Instead, he had visions. Yeah, he was peeping Bathsheba. Hey, how you doing? Vision for your life. But vision for your life. We have to have vision beyond the momentary pleasures. I've got to think past lunch. My future is forward. Too many people live their life looking out the rear view of the mirror. I didn't have an extra rear view mirror, otherwise I'd have it in here. But I promise you, everything God's promised you is not behind you. When we say the best is yet to come, when we say the best is still ahead, it's because that's where God's promises are for you. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. We got to have vision for our life. We've got to have a path. You know what? The Bible says that the man plans his steps, but God establishes his path, right? So what it means is, God, I got to give you a plan for you to bless, but I'm okay with you moving my path. I just need to have a plan. Some people don't have any plan for their life, and that's why they're in the same position 10 years from where they were. We have to have a vision for our life. And just because things don't look great doesn't mean you can't start preparing for great. I love what it says in Isaiah 54. It says this, sing, barren woman, you who have never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. What is he saying? He's saying, have vision. You may not feel birth yet. You may not feel increase yet, but start to see, start to have vision, start to believe for it. Start to believe for further territory. Start to believe for a bigger family. Start to believe for a happy family. Start to believe for a restored marriage. Start to have vision for your life. Anybody hearing this? As the keys come back, listen to this as we close. Romans 8:37. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want you to close your eyes with me. And in this moment, what I want you to do is realize that God has good thoughts towards you. Nothing's going to separate you from the love he has for you. We have the ability today to make a decision to say yes to Jesus. We have an ability today to ask God to forgive us for the things we've done so that we can move forward into a future forward that's worth having. So we can move forward into the future God has planned for us. We can't live apart from God but expect his blessing. We can't live apart from God but expect his future. The first thing that is first is that we've got to get right with Jesus. You say, why Jesus? Because he is the only one that came to die for our sins. And it is only through his sinless blood that we have an opportunity to be forgiven. Our salvation comes through Jesus. Our opportunity for heaven comes through Jesus. Our opportunity to have restoration with our Father comes through Jesus. No one else. Jesus came for you. And right now he's waiting for you. The Bible says if we would believe in our heart that he is who he says he is, if we would begin to believe that he did the thing that he said he did for us, the Bible says that we will be saved.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.